May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
Let us read the Word of God, continuing to read, friends, in Isaiah, the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Isaiah chapter 51. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people, and the isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, and hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and death feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, and as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loose, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury, thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of fury, the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith thy Lord the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street to them that went over. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, our God, we trust we can attempt again to approach thee. O grant us access to thee, O Lord, our God, who holy art. We plead the precious name of Jesus. O God, our Heavenly Father, we plead for Jesus' sake, the name that thou the Father loved, to hear thy children plead. So grant us each a favour, access to thee. We come again, Lord, feeling solemnly our guilt as sinners. Lord, thou knowest even in this day thy day. We are troubled, have been troubled by indwelling sin. Though our outside we trust has been kept clean in some measure, we feel the plague within. We pray, Lord, we beg, we may truly be among those that follow after righteousness and seek the Lord. Lord, them knoweth the solemn verse that we haven't touched upon yet, at the end of the 50th chapter. O Lord, we do beg we may be saved from kindling a fire in a way of a natural way, not a spiritual way, encompassing ourselves about with sparks, and so finding the awfulness of that sadness of being only as a professor of religion, a nominal professor. But Lord, may we be in the favour of the first verse of the chapter begun as we've read tonight. Lord, do grant us that favour then. Help us here, Lord, each of us, as we seek to consider thy word further this night. Oh, grant that precious souls may know and feel the favour that they are in the secret of thy wonderful grace. Truly among those who fear thee, Lord, do confirm it to us. Oh, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, they that hope in his mercy. We pray we may know this favour, Lord, and have it sealed to us, proved to us, the witness of the Spirit for this, Lord. The Holy Spirit to come tonight and bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Come, Lord, and suit thy blessing to each one here, Lord. From the oldest to the youngest, or youngest to the oldest, we would pray, Lord, for each one. Lord, thou knowest how we felt. Help this morning to, oh, we hope in some measure, separate the precious from the vile. Lord, we know it's not really the ministers enabling for this, but thy enabling, thy giving. Thy giving us to search our hearts. I pray, Lord, personally, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, may this be the concern in each one of us given of the Spirit. We may be seeking, searching, praying, Lord, tonight. That we may be blessed to be confirmed that we are in the secret of those that fear thee, Lord, that fear thy name. As we felt we should and were led, we trust to say this morning, comparatively, Lord, even in every time and age, those that fear the Lord are few. And Lord, as Lord, the word is to a company of people as we are gathered together here today. Oh, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Oh, may this question be very much a searching question to each one of us. Oh, Lord, and even the solemnity of walking in darkness and having no light. And as it may be so known and felt, feeling the sad desertion of our God, Lord, thou knowest, we have had times of this, seasons of this. Lord, thou knowest, for each one, each case, Lord, is known to thee. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, for each year, that thou wilt suit thy blessing to each case. Thou knowest what is needed in them each. And Lord, that thou wilt do good in thy good pleasure here tonight to this part of thy Zion. The dear people of Swabersey, Lord, them knoweth, as they gather week by week and in the week. No, Lord, them knoweth the pathway of each one, the trials, the tribulation, the afflictions, Lord. And as we are mindful and, Lord, remember day by day, our dear friends who are under the cloud of affliction of our dear friends here, and knoweth, Lord, we seek thy granting of all needed grace, and we believe thou art granting it. And Lord, we pray still, and we'll pray on for our beloved friends who we love in thy name. And Lord, thou knoweth each one's affliction, especially thou knoweth our dear friend and sister, and her dear husband, dear Benji, her friend and deacon here, and their family, Lord, as we've so much felt, as we've known just a little of the way a cloud comes over the family, as one reflects back on his own father's affliction, and how under those several strokes, one after another, we were all affected by the cloud and shadow of death. Lord, oh, we especially pray for our dear beloved friends. Thou knowest all their need. and others, Lord, in their afflictions and pains and troubles, Lord, who know it each case. And we are mindful, Lord, aware of it, that there may be those listening in who know it, the sweet favour we've learned today of friends listening in this morning. And Lord, if they are listening in tonight, may they feel to be part of this service, gathered unto thee with us here. Lord, we pray thus, that we bless the means we have in these days that have been given us to use through this terrible day that our lot is cast in, this time judgments, and Lord, thy judgment upon our land, thy solemn judgments. And Lord, as it is such a different, strange time, that Lord, thou art using means for thy maintaining and blessing thy people. And oh, we bless thee, Lord, for thy grace. It's thy grace alone. It's by the grace of God we will testify I am what I am. And so, Lord, we pray thou wilt go on, thou mighty Prince, thy wonders to make known, till every soul redeemed by blood shall trust in thee alone. Thou knowest a part of the subject this morning, the exhortation to trust. Oh, we pray for that vital grace that we so much need to be strengthened with hope and love in us, that we may trust thee, our God. Oh, live upon thee and cast our care upon thee. So help us each, Lord. Bless the dear young people, Lord, who know with their preaching as we trust in thy granting it, Lord, and thy anointing and thy pouring in, that we may pour out. And Lord, as we preach, may the dear young people be able to listen and to receive the word according to thy will. Grant them that grace we spoke of this morning, they might seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. Them knoweth there are all the things relating to their lives and their going forward in life. Lord, their school life and their further education, if they enter into it. And Lord, all their purpose of life, useful purpose we hope each will know and find. Thou would order all things for them. And oh, above it all, grant them thy grace. They may know what we've been trying to speak of, the great favour of the fear of the Lord. Oh, and who is among you that feareth the Lord, and the considerations of many things, what is so needed according to thy sovereign purpose in them each. Oh, that they may grow in grace, if they are quickened, they will, and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, may thy work appear, Lord. Let thy work appear under thy servants, who know it is. We think about thy dear servants, our friend who was here last Lord's Day, who knoweth our love to him, the union we feel together, Lord, as times we have to talk together involved in necessary matters, Lord, thou knoweth. And Lord, oh, we pray that thou wilt bless thy servants each as they come, who knoweth we were ministering in thee. Cause of truth of our dear friend, thy servant, who is expected in the week evening service in the coming week. Lord, how it was that memory of thy great goodness they shall abundantly utter, the memory of thy, his great goodness, thy great goodness, and speak of thy righteousness. And Lord, it's thy righteousness tonight we desire to speak of. We desire to know it. To know it imputed to us. Oh, we may be following after righteousness in that way, that true way, by the exercise of the Spirit. Lord, do come then for this. this each gathering of thy people, Lord. Oh, make me wonderfully felt in the church of God. The gathering of the people is unto thee, and that thy wonderful presence may be felt in each gathering of thy people. Oh, Lord, we think of the twos and threes that gather together in thy name. That wonderful word of promise, Lord, that thou hast given, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we are favoured here more than two or three. And Lord, may we examine ourselves whether we are truly gathered unto thee. We will be if we are truly spiritual characters and are in spiritual exercise and seeking to worship thee, our God, our triune God. We believe we will be gathered unto thee. Wonderful words, and Lord, we know the favour of it. We've known the favour of it. We pray we may know it tonight. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh, it's thee, Lord, thou dear Son of God. Thee who, when thou art honoured, the Father is honoured too. When thou art worshipped, we worship God in Christ. We pray the Holy Spirit may give us real worship tonight. Come, Lord, for this, to do each one good here. Oh, bless each, give what is needed. Thou knowest each case. Sweet theme it is, Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint, every sinner's peculiar case. Thou knowest all, Lord. Oh, this is what we trust thou hast given us under thy teaching to know. That thou seest us, thou knowest all things. O Lord, we bless thee, our God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us to worship thee this night. Hear us, Lord, in our continuing prayer and concern for our country, who knoweth how we are. Oh, the sadness that it is not recognised by those in authority over us, that thy judgments are upon us. There is the boast so much heard, Lord, that we will overcome, we will defeat this virus. We know we will not defeat it if we are left to ourselves. But we bless thee for the means thou hast provided. No, Lord, that thou art so giving that success to the means in the vaccines, Lord. But Lord, we do pray for friends, any we know in family and in churches, Lord, who have come to have this terrible virus. Some have been taken by death through it. Two dear godly deacons have been taken by death from our beloved denomination by it. Thou knowest, Lord, the solemnity of it, the seriousness of it. And Lord, thou knowest each one under affliction. We especially remember our dear beloved friend, thy servant. Oh, dear Gerald's wife, dear. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how she is at this time now. We do hope she will soon be able to return home. Oh, that thou would heal her, Lord. Restore her, Lord. And knoweth how she's been in deep affliction. And Lord, there is a dear friend, thy servant, Mr. Parish, Lord. Oh, we understand, advised by his pastor, his new pastor, as we believe and we think it's right, they've settled back at Luton Bethel. Lord, thou knoweth. Oh, we pray he may be restored so that he may stand upon the walls of Zion again, preaching the word, and Lord, as he has done here, and we remember listening the next day to his sermon he preached here before he was taken so ill. Lord, we do pray thus thou wilt bless with further restoring mercies, and Lord, help him, bless him in his own soul. And others, Lord, we think of many who have their afflictions. Oh, sanctify and bless, Lord, and recover where it is thy will. but prepare, Lord, the dying for death. Oh, Lord, I know if something will bring us each down, some particular way of weakness and affliction, we shall be brought down to the end of the journey. But, oh, we pray, Lord, we may be prepared. Prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace, and we trust thou hast shown us, taught us, that we need to pray and seek it in this way, in Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God, in eternal glory, glorious prospect, oh, to be with Christ, which is far better. So help us, Lord, give grace that we may endure to the end. For thy word is clear, Lord, they that endure to the end shall be saved. We seek all needed grace, Lord. We beg, pleading, the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn number 802, commencing at verse 20. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Hymn 802 at verse 20.
Thank you.
seeking much needed help, friends, to continue tonight. I would direct you to the first verse of the chapter we've read this evening, but also bearing in mind the last verse of where we were considering this morning in the former chapter. And so we would read in beginning tonight the last two verses of the chapter 50 in the book of the prophet Isaiah and the first verse of chapter 51. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and not in light, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Particularly I want to dwell upon the call, God's call to his people in this statement. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. That's what we want to consider the most part of the sermon tonight. But I must bring before you solemnly, to some degree and measure, what is in that last verse in this context here, the previous chapter. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, compass yourselves about with sparks. These are not the people, not the people who fear the Lord. The word is searching. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Among any people, gathered together. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? And the things of consideration in this 10th verse. But then, behold, take notice of this. This is a solemn, solemn thing. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, compass yourselves about with sparks. I know God's people can do this, but you know, for the most part, it's those that are out of the secret who kindle a fire in religious practice, in religious profession, and compass themselves about with sparks. And now God knows everything about it, and he's given it to the prophet to say, to write, to record. Walk in the light of your fire. And if we only walk in the light of our fire, friends, we're going to be lost at last. But oh, how it's a warning, friends, and God's people will heed the warning. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you've kindled. And look at the last statement here. This shall ye have at my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. It's not our kindling, friends, that will do us any good. It's not our kindling of fire and compassing ourselves about with sparks and the sparks of our own kindling that ye have kindled. Oh, how we need to be aware of this. It's nothing of us, friends, nothing what we can do. It's nothing of our endeavours in religion. Oh, we want to be in what is in this first verse of 51. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. But we must look carefully at this. Because, friends, you know, there are people that are following after righteousness. And it's not the righteousness which will do them any good. The Pharisees had, and I think of the late John Broome, the address he gave at one of their annual meetings, and you know he spoke of separation, and he said the Pharisees, this is how he began, he said the Pharisees had a wrong separation. They had a legal separation. They had a self-righteous separation. And you know that separation is a great folly. And here we want to be careful as we consider this. Hearken unto me, God says, ye that follow after righteousness. And who are these that follow after righteousness? And what righteousness is it that they follow after? What they need to be seeking to know and have it granted them. What righteousness is it? It's not the righteousness of the law itself. We need to be careful saying that. We need the righteousness of that fulfilled law, fulfilled by Christ. Not the law itself, which says, pay me that thou owest, which we cannot do. But friends, other righteousnesses, legal righteousness, it's not that. It's the righteousness which is of God by faith. And coming to the point of it, the vital point of it, it's imputed righteousness. Now are you and am I following after imputed righteousness? And why is this? It will be. Why will this be so if we're true born children of God, if we truly fear God? Because we will be well taught, sin's demerit. Well taught, we have no righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But oh, this wonderful call to attention here. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. Are you one of these characters, friends? God has so solemnly taught you that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You've got no merit. You've got no merit of anything that you can plead before God. You've got no works to boast, because works cannot work you remission of sin. Your sin is solemn to you, convinced of it. And oh, by the grace of God, God's built you to be an exercise to follow after righteousness. Is this true? You that fear the Lord, is this your exercise? You follow after righteousness. You seek the Lord. Hey, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Are we seeking the Lord? Seeking to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, pleading for mercy, suing for pardon. Oh, knowing our need, our solemn case. And oh, believing that Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. You seek the Lord because God enlightened you. You seek righteousness, his righteousness. What he has wrought out, what he has done for the church, what he has accomplished here on earth. How he lived that perfect life he lived. None other could live it, only God, the Son of God. And he fulfilled the whole law of God on his people's behalf. Brought in everlasting righteousness for the church. And because we are solemnly taught by the Spirit of God that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, we need imputed righteousness. That righteousness imputed to be granted us, to be the breastplate of our heart. We need it, friends, we seek it. Seek our follow after righteousness. See, it says follow after. The Lord has already done some of his vital, important work of grace in these characters. And they go on, God going on to be gracious in them. God continuing to deal with them, to work in them. Like Paul acknowledges in Philippians, it's God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as God works in his people are so exercised and blessed, and they follow after righteousness. I would think of it and consider it with you like this. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. God, has God blessed you with some sweet token of his love? Well, first of all, he would have brought you into concern, make you feel your need of salvation, make you to become a seeker. I very much have in my mind, in sweet remembrance, the late J.S. Green preaching in my hearing at the time of my baptism. How the Lord, first dealing with his people, he makes them to become a seeker, to seek the Lord. You young people, as the Lord made you to become a true seeker of the Lord Jesus Christ, you seek and seek for mercy, and you know those favours, oh God's bless, has God blessed you to know those favours of hope in his mercy, mercies in Jesus that exempt us from hell, and has he given you a token of his love? But oh, is he leading thee on further? Are you among these that follow after righteousness, as God is showing you more and more what wretched heart you have, your sins are so solemn to you, showing you more and more the depravity of your heart? But oh, you know there is righteousness to the believer, freely given, God the giver. But God's purpose is to grant it to his people. You learning in his school, you're seeking, you want further blessing. If God's given you some measure of blessing and favour, you seek more. Be thankful for present, and then ask for more, ye that follow after righteousness. But this is not the righteousness the Pharisees boasted of. It's not a legal righteousness. It's the imputed righteousness that Christ has so wrought and brought in for the church. You need it. You want it to be imputed to you. You want it applied to you. You want to have that holy dress upon you, the marriage, the wedding garment for the marriage supper of the Lamb, ye that follow after righteousness. Oh, friends, is this your exercise? You've got none in yourself. All of ours is as filthy rags. But we have to look away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has righteousness enough, friends, to sanctify us all, ye that follow after righteousness. But this is further to consider of this word, ye that seek the Lord. And oh, from the very beginning of our experiences, as God showed us our need, convinced us of our sin, and showed us that we need salvation and the seeking, the favour of being made a seeker. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, I would say, in love and faithfulness to the young people here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What does that mean? While you're alive. While you're naturally alive. Because if you come to the aeronautical of death and haven't sought the Lord, you're going to be lost. I am, if I'm not. I humbly hope through grace we've sought him and found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. Oh, have you got this exercise to seek the Lord? While he may be found, that's while you're alive naturally. While you're in this life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And as you may and have to have dealings with, and maybe even closer dealings in relationships you may be in, you have to, may have to leave, because it may be you have a relationship with one who doesn't fear the Lord, and the Lord knows. I would be very careful in saying that, but seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto our God. He will abundantly pardon. Oh, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Ye that seek the Lord, but then look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, where we were by nature. I believe this is important to consider it in this way, although I know it relates to Abraham and to Sarah, and there are those things that can be considered as the word continues here. But look to the rock from whence you're hewn, where we were in a quarry of nature, dead in trespasses and sins, in the darkness and death of nature. Sin entered and death by sin, so that everyone is born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we're born dead in trespasses and sins. And there's that rock of death of nature. But we're hewn from it by grace. The Lord has quarried us up out of it, brought us out of the grave of nature. Can it be? Is it given to you? Is it so with you and me? Look unto the rock whence you're hewn, to the hole of the pit whence you dig. Oh, you know, I've thought of it when we've looked across the vast areas of water where mankind has been quarrying for gravel. And I used to have a cousin who was very high in a position in ECC quarries, who used to have to purchase land to dig out sand and gravel and various aggregates. And well, we can naturally look to those areas, those vast areas that have been digged out. You think of it spiritually. How God's people are brought up out of that state. Look to the rock. And the evidence of all that quarrying is the great big hole. The hole of a pit which you digged. Oh, what a pit of corruption we were in. What a pit of death we were in. The hole of the pit whence you dig. Oh, friends. And then, of course, there is, and much could be considered as relating to look unto Abraham, your father. Of course, in a blessed sense, Abraham's the father of all that believe. The Sarah that bear you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. But we want to stay at this first verse. Hearken unto me. Are you hearkening unto God? Unto God who is speaking. God who is communicating with you. He'll communicate with everyone he loves. The Holy Spirit will grant this. Is God speaking to thee? Do you hear his voice? Oh, is it given you to be brought into such concern as causes you to be in concern about your never dying soul and about where shall I spend eternity and about what we named this morning, does God love me? Am I a true born child of God? Well, the way to know it is to hearken unto me, to God, as God calls his people to hearken and acknowledges his people, because he's already done part of the work of grace in them. Ye that follow after righteousness and separating the precious from the vile, so that they know that this righteousness is their need. They need imputed righteousness. They need the righteousness which is of God by faith, which Christ has wrought out. And so it's the favour of being in exercise, seeking the Lord, seeking to know him, whom to know, his life eternal, seeking to know and be a partaker of Christ, to feed upon Christ, to believe in him, to receive of him all that your soul needs. He's the meat and drink of his people. He's their all in and all. Does the theme fit you in your case, friends? Jesus, my all. To heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon. Is this what you know and feel in your solemn soul's exercise? Yes, hearken unto me. Hearken unto God as he speaks by the Spirit to his people. Ye that follow after righteousness, God acknowledges his people. And in the reality of it, friends, it's because you've got nothing of your own. You've got nothing, nothing to have any hope in of yours. No works of boast. They're vile and poor in their own eyes. But Jesus loved thy highly prized. And they never think they're laid to love if Jesus on them pity show. Follow after righteousness and think of the Lord as he lived on this earth, as he walked this earth, as he went about doing good, and as he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we can carefully consider this as relating to the Lord himself and his righteousness, because in the context, you see, it's the way of the Spirit in this portion of the word. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And that's Christ, the Son of God, the voice of his servant. It could be said, well, his servant the prophet. But it's higher than that, friends. It's the Son of God, the voice of his servant. And we know the further words that we've tried a little to consider. Come in there, hearken unto me. The Lord speaking to you. Ye that follow after righteousness, because God's begun his work in you, he's done some of his work in you. You are what you are by the grace of God. But you're still a learner in his school. You're still in great need as a sinner. Oh, we're all sinners and we cannot keep ourselves. We're all troubled because we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. But oh, the exercise of the Spirit will, we trust, keep us. The old man struggles hard to gain the victory over grace. But we have a new man, a new nature, a new heart. And ye that follow after righteousness is that you have in exercise in your new heart and nature. You need the Saviour. You need all what he is, all what he's done, and all what he's doing there. You follow after righteousness. Ye seek the Lord. Oh, favour indeed if we're in this, friends. But if it's only a natural thing, if it's only a legal righteousness, sadly we are out of the secret. But this righteousness, oh, that Christ wrought out, which is to be imputed to every one of his people. This is what God's dear people need. Following after righteousness. Follow on to know the Lord, to know him, to love him, to live to his praise, to have the favour of his holy presence, his blessed company in the pilgrimage journey. To walk with him, walk with the Lord in the land of the living. Think of Enoch, walk with God. Oh, how blessed you are. Friends, oh, are you? Let me put it pointedly. Be assured, friends, I mean it in love. Are you one of these that follow after righteousness? Even the imputed righteousness of Christ, which shall be imputed to you. You need it. Because all yours is filthy rags. So, friends, like we've been singing, acknowledging the blood of Jesus, it's his wonderful salvation. As we read on in this context, there is that stated regarding God's great salvation. God's salvation for sinners. It's all in and by and under and through the merits of Christ. They shall be saved. Saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Oh, is this a favour you are in exercise for? Oh, can you say Jesus is our great salvation? Oh, worthy of our best esteem. Fact is true, friends. He has saved his favourite nation. Oh, we should join aloud to sing of him. Christ has saved us. May we know this, friends. May we truly be in it. Ye, oh, as I stand before you, The Lord only knows how many of you here. And as I say it, I tremble. Because, oh, how solemn to be out of the secret. But, oh, how blessed to be in the secret. In the secret of gracious exercise. Truly an exercise following after righteousness. Look under the rock whence you're hewn. You'll be well aware of where you were. When you were in the darkness of nature. And you bless God for his amazing grace that has saved you, a wretch like you. Oh, if we follow after righteousness and God reveals and blesses us, reveals his dear Son and all what he's done, makes him precious by the work of the Spirit in us, then, friends, we have evidence, personal evidence, we're in the way of God's salvation, God's saving grace. Ye that follow after righteousness, the favour of it, the favour of believing in Jesus and receiving, and it's the receiving of all what you need for your soul's blessing, your soul's salvation. I think of where we were in our early days, when Christ was made precious to us as we felt so much need of him, after we'd known something of the terrors of the law of God, convicted, convinced as sinners. Oh, and then showed, revealed to us was the wonderful mercies in Jesus. Oh, I shall never forget the evening in Stockfold Hope Chapel, where under the ministry of the word, we had the first token that raised her to a hope. It was not the word itself, it was the verse of a hymn. That the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. You dear friends, dear young people, if it is so with you, if you really feel your sins, you may have been under some measure of the law condemning you, but oh, has God raised you to a hope? Can you pray with any, if you may say so, if I may carefully put it, any small measure of faith, or if he grant you a greater measure of faith, can you plead? Are you one of those vilest sinners out of hell who've lived to feel your need under the teaching of the Spirit? And oh, is it such a favour that you feel now? Oh, God says, in his word, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the hymn writer, in a sense, takes it up in a way. Is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, sinners are freely welcomed still to Christ the sinner's friend. It hasn't changed, friends. It's still the same way, the same way and pathway that leads to endless life in heaven. Oh, where souls are blessed, taught, saved by grace. There's no new way. It's Jesus only. It's none but Jesus, like Joseph Hart stated. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And oh, in the blessed reality of it, it's following after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. And because you so much need him, you say, None a saviour more can need. Deeds of righteousness I have none. None of our own. And our own won't do. No, not one good work to please. But God's wonderful ways. He's provided the remedy for sin, which is in the shed blood of Christ, the atonement for sin, remission of sin by the price the Saviour paid. Oh, the great debt of sin we owe to God, paid by Christ, has God sealed this to you? Have you received the atonement? Have you been blessed with redemption? And oh, is it that the Lord's leading you on, and now it has been favoured with redemption? Oh, you're seeking more. You want righteousness. You want the imputed righteousness of Christ. Yes. Sometimes it is when God's people are brought into earnest of exercise. They plead for forgiveness and pardon. And it may be he grants more. Sweet seem the sweet theme that I proved of one of the hymns. Oh, as they seek the Lord, oh, the praying souls. The hymnwriter, with his poetic license, he puts it like this: the praying souls he always grants more than they can express. Well, I was pleading, begging for forgiveness, and he granted me forgiveness. But he also, at the same time, granted me justification by faith. And we walked before the Lord for 5 days in holy peace and joy in believing. Looked for our sins and they couldn't be found. And felt the blessing of justification as God had trilled the word, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Friends, the way of God in blessing souls, favouring souls, is under the work and operation of the Spirit, so that his people seek the Lord, and with real earnestness and real felt need, they seek him while he may be found, call upon him while he's near, and they do look to the rock from whence they're hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence they're digged, and they never forget where they were. I believe it's very profitable in God's perfect purpose. He keeps his people in mind, an exercise to remember what they were, how they were, ruined in the fall. And in that way he sanctifies them so that they even more and more feel great gratitude to God of all the riches of his grace. And they come to this place as they think of millions of the human race who will never know and taste his grace. You come to this place where you say in humble acknowledgement, "Why me, O blessed God, why me? Who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free." The wonderful favour of God's appearing, of God's revelation, is that salvation is free, even for that vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his name. Free grace, friends. Free grace to every heaven-born soul who be their constant theme. Is it yours? Is it mine? Is it their theme? Oh, our theme is free grace. By the grace of God, it's free grace. It's what God favours his people with. Oh, even to every heaven-born soul. We're heaven-born because we're heirs of heaven. We're heirs of heaven-born when we're quickened, actually. When we're quickened, actually, into life, when God does his first work, he gives that soul who is quickened eternal life. "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Friends, who? Blessed, how holy, how sacred, how divine this wonder of wonders is to poor dying sinners, as God set his love upon them before the world in time. They're made manifest as his children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, how blessed it is, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Yes, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. But friends, we're still in the wilderness journey. We're still in the time state. And God has appointed a time for us to be here. He knows the end from the beginning. We need to be begging the Lord for grace to endure, grace to go on. And in this is the following after righteousness, relying on him, casting your care upon him, committing your way on him. It's all in the exercise of following after righteousness. And of course, this righteousness is all in and of Christ Jesus. And he's the forerunner who has entered for his people into heaven. He's gone before us, friends. He's in heaven now. He's our advocate, our mediator, our great high priest, there before the throne of God. Oh, who has done all here on earth. He He sustains his holy offices in heaven. We have a living Lord in heaven. Oh, so we look to him, follow after righteousness in that way. He has gone before. And think of the words in Hebrews, whither the forerunner. He's for us, entered even Jesus. Yes. And what does it say there? This hope we have as an anchor to the soul, though sure and steadfast that entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. And favour, friends, of believing, I hope I truly can say in testimony of it, that I rely on my living Lord in heaven. I rely on his intercession for me. I rely on his advocacy. I rely on him, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I rely upon him, my great high priest above. How are you? You're following after righteousness. You're relying on him. Oh, it's upon him alone hopes of heaven depend. I'm relying, leaning upon him, trusting in him, like we have the words, which we know we came short in considering in the 10th verse of the previous chapter. Walk in, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay. Oh, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Oh, the staying, the grounding, the leaning upon your beloved, the trusting in him, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. God is a refuge for a sealer. It's our Lord, our living Lord in heaven. Many times we've attended funerals of dear beloved friends and singing at the grave, and a number of occasions, Jesus lives no more to die. He lives the Lord enthroned on high. Oh, he does. He's our living Lord. We live upon him. We trust in him. We cast our care upon him. We commit our way on him. Psalm 121. We look unto him. We look unto the hills from whence cometh our strength. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Our Lord in heaven, at God's right hand, he there for us, interceding, pleading our cause. We casting our care upon him, he receiving our poor prayers and presenting them perfect to God the Father. Oh, as he intercedes, he stands between in garments dyed in blood. Is he, instead of us, is seen when we approach to God. So, friends, in this favour, in this exercise, which is profound as set here in the Old Testament, in blessed prophecy, but now so many times, for so many cases, this is the acknowledgement of God, of his people, whom are under his divine teaching, under his holy favour, his love, his goodness to them. And they are those heirs of glory that follow after righteousness, who will be home in heaven at last, through him that loved them and gave himself for them. Are you among them, friends? Are you an heir of glory? Are you one of God's children? Are you one of these that are among the gatherings of God's people that fear the Lord? Oh, remembering, may it be a searching point to us. They that fear the Lord are few in number comparatively to the masses of humanity. You know, in every gathering of people, only God himself knows who they are that fear him, who they are that he has set his eternal love upon. And it's a solemn consideration to those who are brought by the work that the Lord beginning to teach them. They will be very concerned and anxious. Am I among the favoured objects of God's love? And God has his wonderful ways of making it known, making his love divinely known, so that his people are given to be assured that they are among the favoured number. Christ has put me in the number of the Father's family. Grace has put me in the number, the free and merited favour of God, his love set upon his people. This is what gives and brings the child of God into the favour of it, to have it sealed to them that they are among the number of the people of God. The people that we read in another place in this book and prophecy. He says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Yes, ye that follow after righteousness. Look, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, into the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. May the Lord bless his word. Continue with us, lead us on. Lead us in the way everlasting. For his blessed name and sake, we beg it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Gerard Chalmley will, God willing, preach at the usual times. And there will be no Sunday school next week. Our closing hymn is number 145. Christ exalted is our song, hymned by all the blood-bought throng. To his throne our shouts shall rise, God with us by sacred ties. Hymn 145.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that was seen amiss in our services. Do own and bless thy word, Lord, be with thy people. Oh, come and be among thy people here when they gather those services announced, thy dear servants announced to preach. Lord, how we look to thee that thou wilt yet send forth more labourers into the harvest. Are there those who follow after righteousness in exercise of the ministry of the word, Lord? Oh, we look to thee, Lord. The harvest is plenteous, the labours are few. Grant them to look on the fields and see that they are white, ready for harvest. The thought of it coming along, seeing the fields becoming more golden and then white and ready for harvest. Send forth more labourers, Lord, into thy harvest. Bless the dear friends here. They may in thy time have a pastor after thine own heart. Lord, thou knowest her. Exercise for them, Lord. Oh, we pray in this way for them. Oh, forgive all our shortcomings, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessing, Lord. Oh, may we live unto thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.